This is A Drink with a Friend. I'm Tish Oxenreiter. So I want to review a few of the themes we have unpacked this season on Drink. We started off with rootedness, and rootedness ended up being kind of the running thread of all the themes this season. So rootedness, the idea of burrowing down where you're meant to be and cultivating roots so that you can then actually bloom as a plant and ultimately thrive in the soil that you currently live in. And that led us to the theme of acedia. So the noonday devil, how to fight it when you're living how you're meant to be stops being fun and life just gets hard. What do we do about that? And then we went over into localism, the idea of why the immediate world around you matters, you know, both the 100-mile metaphorical radius and the immediacy of the people you are called to serve, and why we need to prioritize that over, say, the internet or other sort of digital forms of connection. So we've gone from rootedness to acedia to localism. Now let's talk about making things. That's the theme for this episode and the next couple. I'm going to make the case here that we need to be people that make things. And I'm actually talking about making things with our hands, or at least our bodies, our physical bodies. And I want to make the case that we need to be people who make things, not necessarily because those things need to be made, but because we need to be people who make things. And when I'm talking about things, I'm talking about anything really, big and small. So there's gardens, and there's garden clubs, right? There's writing books. There's creating a book club in your neighborhood. There's coffee, you know, roasting your own. I don't know. I guess some people can grow their own, but mostly roasting your own. And opening a coffee shop, painting by numbers, or some other form of visual art, taking up needlepoint. And then there's also just the DIY stuff, right? The DIY of making or repairing a fence or doors or benches or decks, the things that we live around. And also DIYing our lotions, our potions, our kombuchas, our bread. You get the gist. And okay, yeah, I'm going to say we could make a secondary case for digital DIY too. So even though I'm talking about that we need to be people who make things with our hands, okay, if we're going to be on the digital space, we at least need to be, a lot of us need to be people who make things, right? So podcasts, newsletters, video channels, and the like. You get it, you know. Okay, why? Why do we need to be people who make things? Well, here's honestly the main reason. The main reason is because it makes us better people. And the reason it makes us better people is because we are created beings made with a capacity to create. That's what sets us apart from the animals. We are made in the image and likeness of God, and God is the creator. And we take after him, you know, similar to how our kids have our same eye colors. We take after God in this capacity. We are made to create. We don't create from nothing, ex nihilo, like God does, but we take his creation and then add on to that. That's actually what he has called us to do. So we need to be making things because that's what we're meant to do as people. And it makes us better people because of it. Okay, what do I mean by making us better, right? That sounds a little either vague or kind of snobby, like you're not a good person unless you're making something. Well, here's what I mean. Here are four different ways I can think of that making things makes us better. The first one is we're not actually meant to be consumers primarily. And yet that is what our culture entices us to do all the time at most waking hours of the day, just sitting back and consuming stuff. I mean, think about the endless channels you can now stream. There's so many channels. There's so many shows, even independently made good content on the internet, like podcasts and YouTube channels. There are so many things that we could just honestly spend the rest of our lives consuming and not consume at all. And because we're made to be creators, we can look to our original state, the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in that story, they worked before the fall. So their capacity to work and also to create and to invent, you know, make up names for the animals. That was their pre-sin self. And so being made in the image and likeness of God means that we're actually meant to live in that Garden of Eden. And until we do, we're going to be restless. But that is a way we can bring a form of heaven on earth. So this connects me to a little bit of the story of why I started blogging back in 2007. I was overseas with my family, and long story short, because I've told this before, I was diagnosed with depression just a few months into our big cross-cultural move. And I met with a therapist for quite a few months, and he helped me unpack a lot of that and understand how to thrive in this new culture. And one of the things he prescribed for me, in addition to meds and in addition to working with him in therapy, is to create or make something. Like, and he made the point, it doesn't matter what it is, but basically find something to do and to make. And after that appointment, heading home, my husband Kyle suggested a blog. He's like, you know, those blog things that are getting really popular. I had had one for, you know, the purpose of sharing grandkid photos with the grandkids. This is pre-social media. But anyway, I started a blog because he knew I liked to write, and it took off from there. That became my therapy. The idea of writing and publishing and cultivating this little space on the internet, that was part of my healing. So we're not meant to be consumers. We're meant to be creators. It's part of the healing process of our frail human state here on earth. Okay, the second reason creating makes us better is because it increases our satisfaction in the thing. So I'm also going to make the case that it's not so much about the product as it is the process, but there is something to be said about an increased appreciation in the things that we made. So I started making bread regularly this past year. You know, I would every now and then, once in a blue moon, but I make it every week now. And that's the bread our family eats. Like, that is what we make sandwiches out of. I don't buy bread at the store anymore. I can see that as a family, we appreciate it so much more. It's eaten with, I don't want to say more reverence, because it is just basic bread, but kind of. There's a sense of appreciation for this bread that we just didn't have when we bought it for $2 at the store. And I'm not even getting into all the other health benefits. I'm just talking about the mental and sort of emotional appreciation for bread. Same with, you know, harvesting your garden. You know, if you garden, you know that the tomato tastes so much better because it came from your backyard. The art you hang on the wall, if you made it, or if you know the person that made it, or you were in some capacity part of that creation, you really appreciate it more than if you just go down to the big box store and buy the art. This is a weird analogy or an illustration, but if you're a woman and a mom, go with me on this. Do you remember, you might be in the thick of this stage, when you have a baby and you are nursing? That breast milk is liquid gold, because you know how hard it is to make that, right? And so whenever you have to do something like pump and dump, it just kills you inside, right? Or just whenever you would pump and then freeze it for later, you know that you are storing up something really good. Sounds really weird, but you just, I don't know. You know what I mean. You have an increased satisfaction because you made it. And honestly, also DIY repair helps us appreciate the stuff we own. So whenever you change your own oil or fix the flat tire, whenever you repair the squeaky cabinet doors in your house, whenever you replace the part on the appliance instead of just throwing it out and buying another new one, or whenever you fix the hem in your clothing or the hole, or, you know, whatever you need to do with needle and thread to make your clothes wearable instead of tossing it out or donating it, you increase your appreciation for the stuff you own. Kyle says he knows the bones inside and out of this house that we live in because we have renovated it from the inside out. He literally rewired the electricity in the house and replumbed all the pipes under the house. And so he's been in the literal walls and under the crawl space. So he knows this house well. He has an increased appreciation for the place we live because he did a lot of DIY in it. He got his hands in the mess of it all. Another reason making things makes us better is because it actually helps us be more of the localist that I was talking about in the past few episodes. You know, the idea of really prioritizing where you are. You can't get more local than your own backyard, your own kitchen, your shed, your sewing machine. It really helps us be local because we are either not buying excess from elsewhere or we are creating it from the get-go from our own homes. And then lastly, making things makes us better people because it helps us appreciate the stuff we do outsource. So I hope it goes without saying, but I am not implying we DIY our entire lives. We just aren't at that state anymore. And I'm grateful for that, right? I am super glad someone has made a car for me and understands how whatever sparks need to fly to make the internet work. But I appreciate that stuff more whenever I do the DIY on the things I can do. And, you know, it helps me appreciate my local vendors and makers. I do not want to be a rancher, so I'm very grateful for the farmers and vendors that where I get my meat at the store. I'm thankful for the family where we get our milk from. And I'm even thankful for the stuff I just buy at the store because I know I can't do it all. And the reason I know I can't do it all is because I am trying to do some of it. So those are ways that making stuff makes us better. It makes us more human, more of who we're made to be. And like I said earlier, it's not so much about the output as it is the inward satisfaction that we undergo through this process of making, how it sanctifies us. I should say, though, along with that, yeah, it's not about the output, but we should care about making good things. So I'm not necessarily just talking about getting out some Play-Doh and just making weird sculptures and then smushing them down again, because who cares, right? There is something that matters about making good things and particularly making good art. And that's what we're going to get into next month on the podcast. But for now, think about when you're thinking about the making, there's a well-known quote from Ira Glass, and it's famously called The Gap. And people have actually made really cool artwork in the form of video to correspond with that. I will put a link in the show notes. What he says, and this has been my experience as well, the only time-tested way to get better at something is to output a lot of work, to do it again and again and again and again. There really is no shortcut for that. So if you think, I don't want to make my own dresses because I'm not good at it, well, the way to get better at it is to keep making them, or bread, or DIYing repair work in your house, or whatever it is that you're thinking of that you feel like you're not very good at. Making things makes us better at making things. The more we do all of this in our lives, the better we get. Now, you might argue with me right now, like, this all sounds great, but you don't know how busy I am. You just don't have the time, you're thinking. I get it. I am with you. This is why I don't make as much as I would like to make. I can think of many things I wish I was able to DIY and I just can't because of time. But consider this. Consider whether you use some substantial time in your day for entertainment. And ask yourself whether your creation, the process of creating, can be your form of entertainment. Perhaps looking at the idea of making more food from scratch could actually become a hobby and not just a necessity. So maybe your main form of downtime could be starting a garden. You know, it's kind of like that idea of replacing a bad habit with a good one concept. So if you're just thinking, I spend too much money, it's not just like, okay, not shopping. It's actually doing something good with your time. So if you feel like you buy too many clothes, maybe flip the script and say, I'm going to, whenever I feel the itch to browse the internet for clothes, instead, I'm going to work on a sewing project where I'm going to make something that I can wear. Just an idea. Consider that some of the time we spend is actually entertainment and a lot of passive consumption style of entertainment. And yes, there is the idea of digital creation, and I am not going to write that off. consider the whole replace a bad habit with a good one. If you feel like you spend too much time on a screen, like if you just are looking at, you know, the hours you spend, you think, I need to cut back, perhaps one way you can do that is not necessarily just completely go cold turkey with your screen time, but consider instead of consuming stuff on a screen, create something on a screen. So maybe make a YouTube channel or a newsletter on Substack or a podcast. And yes, there are a ton of them out there. So you can't approach making one of these with the idea of doing it to find a newfound large audience. I'm making the case that you need to do this for you. Remember, we're talking about the process more than the product. So create these digital things for you. The plus side is when you do that, that's honestly the only way I have found to organically grow an audience that sticks with you. And what I mean by that is doing something you love. You're not doing it for the idea of clickbaity, high traffic, viral content. When you're just doing it because you love it, then your people will find you. And if that happens, great. But if not, it's also no big deal because you're not doing it for that anyway. That blog I was talking about that I started, gosh, 17 years ago now, which is crazy, I was doing it purely as a hobby. I had no inclination whatsoever that it would become my next career. So the takeaway of all this, how about make something this weekend? Make a list of ideas, and it doesn't need to be a big thing, but make something. I would advise you to prioritize analog, but if you can't, digital works too. That's fine. Make anything, even something simple. And then notice how it makes you feel. I know that sounds woo-woo, but actually notice the byproduct, the result within you, and not necessarily, like, ask yourself, how did making that loaf of bread make me feel? Not so much, how good is this bread? So how did the process of bread making make you feel emotionally, physically, even mentally, spiritually? Notice those things and then make a plan to make something every week. Remember, don't aim for perfection. Aim for done. And take the posture of a learner, not an expert. I have a kid who, since he was little, he would talk about not wanting to take classes of some sort of thing because he didn't know how to do it yet. He would say, you know, when he was four, I don't want to take Taekwondo lessons because I don't know how to do Taekwondo. And we would just laugh at that idea, like, that is how you learn. But we often do that, right? We don't want to do something, fill in the blank of that activity you've wanted to try that you're not doing because you don't know how to do it. Well, here's the way to learn how to do it, right? So take the posture of a learner, not an expert, and be willing to laugh at your experience and your output because it may actually not be great, at least at first, and maybe not for a while. But again, like I said, that's not the point. You need to be someone who makes things. I will be joining you this weekend. I'll be in the garden. I'll be making some bread. And who knows what else? We've got a lot of DIY projects around here. I'm sure I'm going to get my hands dirty and in the grit and grime of renovating an old house. So I'll be right there with you. All right, guys, let's make stuff. And with that, that's it for me for now. As always, you can find drink episodes at adrinkwithafriend.com, where you can also, as always, help support the show by picking up the next round of drinks. Every tiny bit counts, and I appreciate y'all so much when you do that. You can find me and all my stuff at tishoxenrider.com, and for all the links to anything I mentioned, you can also just head to the show notes of this episode. Kevin McLeod did the music, Kyle Oxenrider did the editing, and I'm Tish Oxenrider, and I did the talking. I will be back here again with you soon. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day. Go make stuff.